John chapter 8, please, if you will. And we're going to drop down to verse number 31 and 32. John chapter 8. I preached an entire series of sermons on this particular setting of Scripture back in the 1990s. I think I'm going to dig that out and preach those all again. I was studying those and looking at those the other day, and I don't throw any of my sermons away. Every sermon I print out, and most of it by hand, I underline in red. You'll never be able to read this, I'll guarantee it, but that's the first page of 15 pages tonight. No, I'm kidding. It's only 6 pages, but you see, that's how I do it. Now, all these modern preachers, they all put it in the computer, and they have typesetting, and they come with their iPads to the pulpit, and they just punch a button. It goes to the scriptures or whatever. I have a little screen here in my pulpit where that Miss Tammy will have for me the scriptures printed here. That's nice. The same thing you see there, I see here. So I don't have to have all that stuff. I have it right here. But these are my notes tonight. How the truth can set you free. How the truth can set you free. I think I preached about six or eight series of sermons on that thought, and I'm going to be bringing, I think, that again. Holy Spirit of God just really been touching me. You know, repetition is so good for us. We need repetition. We need to hear something over and over and over again. But this is a start, and actually it's probably right about in the middle of that series, this particular thought. But I want to bring it to you tonight from John chapter 8, verse 31 and verse number 32. Would you read those two verses with me together out loud? This is so good. Ready? Together. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, "If you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Father, we love you. Thank you for your great love to us. Lord, would you help us tonight? Lord, give us strength. And I pray what we learn tonight we'll take with us and improve our lives for Christ. Lord, we'll teach this that we're learning tonight to our young people who are back in the youth meeting. Lord, I pray that you'd speak to us now. Give us wisdom, strengthen our church body. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Now, I do not have an outline for Miss Tammy back there. I did not give her one today, but she is ready to put the scripture verses up, and I will tell her hopefully in advance so she can get those up and get those on the screen for you. But you can turn in your Bibles as well. Satan, I believe this with all of my heart, will bind us and shackle us with a variety of feelings, of emotional hang-ups. Everybody has emotional hang-ups, attitudes, many that were programmed in us from childhood. It is very important, ladies and gentlemen, that we train our children properly because they will learn from what we teach them and train them, and some of those things will become emotional hang-ups about church, about Christian living. We are programmed. We have like a grid system in our lives as people, and that grid system is programmed every single day by somebody. Those little girls in your home, those little boys in your home have that little grid system, and they're going to react however they were trained in that grid system. Now, we think education is important, and it is. We think school's important, and it is. But home is really important. Probably the most important element is the home. In order to keep us from becoming the person God wants us to become, and from achieving what God wants us to achieve and accomplish, the things that God has set us out to accomplish in our life, the old devil thwarts us with attitudes and feelings and emotional jargon that we've been programmed with when we were younger. Well, we can't become what God wants us to become. Have you ever heard people say, well, I'd like to do something for God, but I can't seem to ever get there? Because they were programmed wrongly. Or the devil is using an area to really hinder them. You see, your mind is like that grid system. It's a filter system. It's programmed in childhood, as a teen, as an adult. We think things on the basis of what we've been taught or what we heard or how we have felt, and not on the basis so oftentimes of biblical truth. In fact, a lot of our doctrine in a lot of churches, people don't really know the Bible. I appreciate that you do, but there's a lot of people who don't. And all they know is what they've been taught and what's been handed down to them from one generation to another. That's all they know. They don't know what the Bible says. They say, well, I think the Bible says this, but the Bible doesn't say anywhere near what they think. And so a lot of times we have so many problems because of that. It's how we felt, what we've heard, and not on the basis of truth. So what does the devil do? So the devil tells us and takes us and convinces us of our feelings of insecurity. He pounds on us about those worthless feelings or insufficient feelings or feelings of inadequacy. We go through life then. We're hindered. How many people would say to me, well, I would do something, but I don't have any ability in that area. They don't think they have ability because they've listened to the devil, and the devil's told them they have no ability. Or I feel so inferior, Pastor. I couldn't get up and do what you do or what Brother Holmes does or what Brother Sharp does. I have such inferiority feelings. And where does that come from? That does not come from God. That comes from the devil himself, making you feel inferior, that you can't even sing in the choir. I can't carry a tune. Maybe that's true. Maybe you can't carry a tune. And maybe you shouldn't sing in the choir. I don't know about that. But other folks could sing in the choir, but the devil tells them they can't, and they're inferior, or they are inadequate, and I can't. Or my past life, Pastor, I can't do anything at church because I'm double married, or I've got a mess in my life. I've been on the third wife, or whatever. And maybe there are some things you can't do at the church, but there are some things you can do. And don't let the devil lie to you and tell you you can't do anything and sit there and do nothing. You can do something for God. But the devil will pound on your feelings of inferiority. He'll jump on those insufficient feelings or inferiority or worthless or inadequacy. And you'll go through life, if you're not careful, being hindered, actually shackled by Satan's lies. Life becomes full of guilt in those days. Fear, worthlessness, anxiety, worry, fretting, and so on. You're saved. Somebody could be saved, but you're not very happy because you have all these feelings. You can't face life's everyday situation. Now, I have discovered some basic truths that God has given me that I think are really important for a group of people to understand. We are the living, go to Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. We are the living possessors of redemption and forgiveness. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3 talks about our possessions in Christ. Blessed be the God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings. Now, get the wording from the Scripture in heavenly places in Christ. Now, based on our relationship with Christ, which is we have invited him to come into our lives because he enacted some things at the cross. You see, Jesus Christ did some things at the cross. He performed a supernatural act. Jesus Christ, get our heads right on this. Jesus Christ actually enacted at the cross a supernatural act. He had these blessings, all of these blessings talked about in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. He had all these blessings put in store or deposited for you on your account at the cross of Calvary. You see, ladies and gentlemen, all that we have today was enacted at the cross, and you literally had nothing to do with it at all, whatsoever.
That's an interesting comment. At the cross of Calvary, it's not based on you or what you have done. It's based on what Jesus Christ has done at the cross. Right there it is. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. These blessings all have their origin then in Christ. Now go to Philippians chapter 4, verse 19. It's not according to your resources, it's according to Him. So in Philippians chapter 4, verse 19, but my God shall supply all your need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. God has the resources, and we are to look to Him. But my God shall supply all your need according, if we could just believe the Bible, if we could just understand what Ephesians said, and now what Philippians says, we would be happy Christians. But oh no, the devil hits our inferiority. I mean, it might be about a job. It might be about a house. It might be about a car. It might be about a bank account. It might be about something else. But the old devil starts planting fears, and he starts planting insecurities, and he starts planting insufficiencies, and he starts planting all sorts of things. So when we come to church, we cannot really enjoy God. We cannot really enjoy His power, His presence, because we're thinking about what we have to fix. Ladies and gentlemen, we have to fix nothing. All the blessing that God has for us is already in store for us. It's already there. He's already planned it, how it's all going to work. We just need to trust Him. You see, He performed that supernatural act at Calvary. Now, note something. All the resources are in Christ Jesus. He, God, did this on the basis of what His Son did, and on the basis of your response to what the Son did. As you believe, so came the gift of salvation. All you did was believe. As we believe, so came our name to be written in the Lamb's Book of Life. So as we believe, I received the gift of salvation. As I believe, my name was written down in the Lamb's Book of Life. As we so believe, that which God has provided then becomes in living reality mine the moment that I trust in Jesus the Christ who went to the cross. It's mine. I've got to believe that. My God's going to supply all my needs. Now, how can you feel worthless when God loved you enough before you were ever born to deposit in your account every single thing you would ever need as long as you lived on planet Earth? Do you hear me? God has deposited before you were ever born in your account all that you would ever need while you lived here on planet Earth. Now, we just need to trust Him. I can just simply go home and say that was a good message. But I'm not done. But that's a good message. Come on, amen. But we've got to believe it. But you know what? We don't. We worry. We fret. We have feelings of inferiority, insufficiency. I'm going to lose my job. I'm going to lose my house. Oh, I'm not going to make. Listen, everything has been placed in store for you. Do you believe it? Six? There's a whole lot more people than six people here. We got a few people. Amen. Amen. Yes. Amen. Right. Listen, the whole church ought to be saying amen. It's right. That's the truth of the scripture. God's going to take care of you. I have no reason to feel unworthy. I have no reason to feel worthless. I have no reason to feel left out. That's the devil's lie. I'm telling you, that's the devil's lie. Are you saved? Are you born again? But my God shall supply all your need. Don't worry about anything else. Come to church and let's just shout together. Quit sitting there like the mully grubs have got you. Pooch lip. You want somebody to notice how bad you're having it. Just rejoice because your God, same as my God, shall supply all your needs according. Say, but I don't know if he can do this one. Hold it a minute. According to his riches, not your riches, not Brother Wolf's, not John's, not mine, but his, according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. And guess what? I told you this the other day. He owns everything. So from his bank, from his resources, from all of those sources, according to his riches, he's got them all. Why, we shouldn't have to worry about anything. Amen? Now, it does not mean name it, claim it. Don't go there. That doesn't mean that. Sometimes, I'll be honest with you, sometimes, I listen closely, sometimes we need to be in the valley. I know we don't like to go in the valley, but sometimes we need to be in the valley. Now hold it. That means I went into a valley a few weeks ago. Butch Maines went into a valley a few weeks ago. And I say it to him, and he said to me, it was good for us to be there. Sometimes, listen everybody, sometimes, and I know we don't like it, but sometimes we need to go in the valley and face the trial. But let me ask you something. Who is he that's in the valley? He is the lily of the valley. Come on, amen. I said he is the lily of the valley. Maybe you won't see him until you're there in the valley. And all of a sudden, you see the great lily of the valley and the bright and morning star. And then you'll say, thank God I went in the valley because I got to see Jesus. And he changed my life. Sometimes we need to be pruned. Sometimes we need to be pruned. Sometimes we need to be sanded off. You know, the best fruit in the world will come if you keep your trees pruned. Without pruning those fruit trees, they don't deliver the kind of fruit you're looking for. He who is your keeper knows what we need. And he knows when we need it. Remember, God gives the blessings, and he keeps us balanced. I think sometimes we're too prone to complain about how bad things are when maybe God's trying to teach us something, and we need to learn what he's trying to teach us. Picture this. So many Christians, it seems like to me, come creeping and crawling up to God. God, I don't deserve. Now, they're trying to be humble, I think. God, I'm just a crawling to you. I'm just a weeping to you. I'm just creeping as close as I can get. Now, I think they're trying to be humble, but they don't know how to be humble. I don't deserve this. I get so down the dumps and the bottom's falling out, God, with me, and oh, I'm mourning, and I groan, and I gripe, and I complain. My question is, why do you do it that way? You know, God is a loving God, and he is your heavenly Father. He has already provided all of his supernatural, unlimited omnipotence for you. And he will create for you anything you need. In fact, he's already created it. He's willing to give you what you need when you need it. And you come creeping or crawling or crying or begging as a beggar would. Why don't you come as who you are and who God sees you? Can I ask you a question? If you're saved and born again, who are you? Just who are you? Well, first of all, you have been forgiven. You are forgiven. Secondly, you have been reconciled to God. Thirdly, You are a son or daughter of God. Do you expect these kids to come to their daddy, crawl on their bellies? Can you see Wade crawling to Gino on his belly just so daddy will know that he's so humble? He's going to crawl and cry and, Dad, please, I need some help. Or does he come as a son and say, Dad, since I'm your son, I'd like to have an ice cream cone. Could you get me one? He doesn't have to come, does he? Crawling on the ground, dirty fingernails, sweat running down his face. Wouldn't you say, son, come on, you don't have to do that. Dad loves you. Tell me what you want. I'm here for you. Hey, listen. Isn't God here for us? Doesn't he love us? Where do we get this idea that we have to come? It's a sign of humility. No, it's not a sign. It's a sign that I don't know who I am in God. Who I am in God is I'm a son. I have been forgiven. I have been reconciled. I'm part of the family. I'm part of the kingdom. My goodness, I am somebody, not because of who I am, but because of who he is and what he has done for me through the power of the word of God. Man, God has done something for me. I am a child of God. Whew. I don't have to crawl to him. He loves me. I had my little episode, but I didn't crawl to God. I said, dear God, I need your help now. Please help me. I'm a son. I come believing. I come expecting. I come anticipating the blessings of God. I don't come thinking he's got a big stick and he's going to discipline me and club me. I'm his son. He loves me. Look at Ephesians chapter 1, verse number 11. We'll go from Ephesians 1, verse 11, then to Romans chapter 8, verse 16 and 17. Then we'll go back to Ephesians chapter 1. Look at Ephesians chapter 1, verse 11, in whom also, listen to this. We have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. Notice it's past tense. Being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own what? His own will. Of whose will? Whose will is this happening? His will. Not my will. Not your will. His will. Now look at Romans chapter 8, verse 16 and 17. I become an inheritor. It says, the Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. I have become an inheritor. God has deeded some things to me, put my name on what God has given his son. Listen, God has put my name. God has put your name on what he has given to his son because you are now a joint heir with Christ. He's put your name on what his son's name is on. Woo, that's big time stuff. I become a joint heir. I don't deserve it. I don't have any rights. It was the cross that did it. It's not me. It's not what I have. It's not what I think. It's what he's done. I don't deserve it. I don't have any right. It's all because of Calvary. There it is. I don't deserve anything. Ephesians chapter 1. Go back to verse 3. We have obtained and are presently enjoying these things right now. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3, blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Look at verse 11, 12, 13, and 14. I want us to stay in Ephesians chapter 1, the Holy Spirit has given to us, he's been given to us as a pledge, a down payment of that inheritance. You're going to inherit something. On the day of Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit came and indwelled, notice the indwelling came, and then the Spirit came and sealed the people. And that person has the right to get involved and participate in the inheritance. This inheritance that God gives will never be exhausted. In whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will, that we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ, in whom also trusted, after that you heard. Here's what happened. You heard the word of truth. You trusted the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, after that ye believed, ye were what? Sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Wow. Which is the earnest. It's the down payment. That word earnest means down payment of our inheritance. It's a down payment of what we're going to inherit someday. The Holy Spirit came and sealed us, and it's a down payment. We're going to get something even better. Until the redemption of the purchased possession, until you have been redeemed. Unto the praise of his glory. Next verse. Verse 15, please. Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints. Go to the next verse. Cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. The Holy Spirit has been given to you as a down payment. You what? You believed, you heard, you believed, you trusted, you were sealed. The Bible says you're sealed how long? Until the day of redemption. How can I feel inadequate? How can I feel insecure? How can I feel fear when my name is on the greatest title deed ever written? God wrote it there. God signed it by his blood. Then he sealed it by the Holy Spirit. I don't need to duck my head. No, sir. I don't need to bend my neck. I don't need to bow my back. Brother, since I've been saved, I am somebody. I'm a child of the King. My name's been written down in the Lamb's Book of Life. I've been sealed until the day of redemption. Stand up. Don't bow your head. Don't buckle under. At that shop tomorrow, stand up. Say, blessed be God, I'm a child of the King. When you walk in that office, let the light come on. You are the light. Walk in that office as the light. You're having trouble, difficulty? Walk in that fact. Walk in that neighborhood. Let them see who you are. You're a child of the King. Come on, amen. Today I have one more therapy session Friday, and my therapy will be over. It's been 6 weeks already. Can't hardly believe it myself. And I gave all those nurses a little gift. And they said, oh, Pastor, that's so nice of you to do that. I said, well, I want you to know you have really helped me, and I appreciate what people do, and I just wanted to get you a little something. So I gave them all a little something, and they were so tickled with that. And I said, gals, listen, I want you to come. They're having a 40th anniversary for me at my church, and I want you to come. And all of them said, Pastor, we're going to do our best. We're going to do our best to be there. I have any idea what their backgrounds are. It doesn't make any difference. You got to plant the seed. They need Jesus too. Come on, amen. Walk in that office. Walk in that center like I did. Be the light. Let everybody know who you are, what you're doing. I'm not ashamed of being a pastor of a church. I'm not ashamed to tell folks you need to be saved. It's a wonderful thing. Come on, amen. Stand up. Your opinion of yourself is messed up because you can't stand up. If you can't stand up, it's because your opinion of yourself is messed up because of your grid system, how you were trained, how you thought. You got to get away from that. You got no truth. Your attitude towards God is off balance. You don't understand what God sees. I wonder, have you ever thought about you? Hey, Jack, stand up, Jack. Jack's going to stand. I wonder what God sees when Jack stands up. Do you know what we see? A bald-headed old guy. That's what we see. Yep. Yeah, not very good looking. Got a mustache. He's bald-headed. I mean, we look at the outside. I'm not trying to be funny. It came out that way, but I'm not trying to be. But isn't that what we do? Yeah, we see what we see on the outside. Can I ask you a question? What does God see? Saved person. What else does God see about Jack? Son. She's his son. She's his son's blood. Does he see his sins? No. Why not? He's been covered by what? The blood. What does God see? He sees the blood of his son Jesus. Does he see him as a sinner? No. You know what God calls everybody who is saved? And I know some folks don't like to hear this, but it's a truth. Listen, everybody, if you're saved, born again, you are somebody. You are no longer a sinner. I understand people want to make it sound humble. I'm a sinner saved by grace. That's understandable that you say that, but that's really not the issue. The issue is, if you've been saved, born again, you are now a saint. I don't want anybody to call me a saint. God called you a saint. How about that? You look at what church was it in the New Testament that God had the most trouble with? What church was it? Corinth. Wasn't it Corinth? And what did he call the Corinthians? Go to chapter 1 quickly. Get your Bible quickly. Quickly. Go to chapter 1 quickly. Chapter 1, chapter 2, I think it's in both. Start the first two or three verses. What did God, now this is God's evaluation of these people, and what did he call them? He didn't say to the sinners of Corinth, I write. He didn't say that. He didn't say, and I can't say that to this church, to the sinners I'm preaching tonight. No, sir. I am preaching to a group of born again believers who are called saints of God. Now, did he not say called to be saints? What, is that verse 2? Yeah, You see right there? He said, I'm calling them to be saints. God calls you who are saved and born again saints of God. You know why? Because you are somebody. Not because of who you are, but what God has done through his son for you. You are now a born again child of God, a saint of God. Wow, what wonderful truth that is. You see, we don't understand when God sees us, we don't understand what he sees. He has provided for you because he loves you. Go to Ephesians chapter 2. Let's start, Miss Tammy, at verse number 14, please. And we'll go all the way down through 18. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 14. He is our peace, who hath made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us. Verse 15. Having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace. And that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby. Verse 17, and came and preached peace to you which were afar off, and to them that were nigh. Verse 18, for through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Now go to Romans chapter 5, verse 1 and verse 2. We have obtained something in the past. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Wow. Full speed ahead, folks. We have access to every spiritual blessing. Let's quit sitting around sucking on some lemon and saying how bad we've got it. We are somebody. And God hears us, knows exactly where we are, and has all these spiritual blessings ready for us. Now let's go to Ephesians chapter 2, verse 18, and I'm about finished. For through him, we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. I don't have to go through anybody else except through Christ. I don't pray to anybody else, just go through Christ. By the presence of the Holy Spirit, directly to the Father, I come to the throne room. He's ready to bless me. Am I afraid? Do I feel inadequate? Do I feel inferior? Do I feel worthless? Never. Why should I? I'm a child of the King. Now, I may not be able to articulate like somebody else. I mean, if anybody in this church knows me, I love the way Brother Wolf prays. He articulates his words so neatly. I love the way the man prays. I said to the Lord, wish I could pray like that. God says, just pray the way you pray. You don't have to pray like anybody. You pray the way you pray. You know why? Because that's how God accepts you. Come on, amen? But you don't have to be afraid when you get to the throne. You don't have to feel inadequate. Well, I can't pray like that. Well, don't have to. But please, don't call God your good buddy. Address him as Father. Now, why would I say that? Because we're taught to pray our Father, which art in heaven. Then it says this. I can't stand the groups that teach people to say, hey, bud, how you doing this morning? It says, hallowed be thy name. Our Father. Let's do what the Bible says. I know other folks can talk about how they talk to God and how they're hip and all that stuff. But let's just do what the Bible says. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. What a God we serve. God is not glorified in our poverty, though. In our poverty of spirit, God's not glorified. Our poverty of finances, God's not glorified. God is glorified by us obeying him. In our obedience, our devotion, our faith, our prosperity in every area of life. Christians for a long time have sort of been pleased just that they didn't have much. It was a sign of humbleness. I don't think that's biblical at all. I think God wants to bless you in all spiritual blessings. I think God wants to bless you in your finances, in how you live. I think God gets glory out of blessing you. Risk faith in Almighty God. Just go ahead and risk it. He wants to bless you. Get faith centered in God. He wants to demonstrate to this unbelieving world that there is a God. He will meet every single need. Through Christ, we have access to the Father all the time, and there are no office hours for the Father. There's no 9 to 5. He's there all the time. Amen. Our biggest battle is to believe. Am I going to believe what I, now listen, am I going to believe what I feel, what I see, what I experience, or am I going to believe the Word of God? Lots of people believe what they feel. Because people will tell me when I talk to them about being saved, well, when I feel the Lord dealing with me, I'll come. So they only live by what they feel. Well, I don't feel it, Pastor. I just don't. Well, you may never feel it. If the devil were smart like I think he is, he won't let you feel anything so that you don't get saved. That's a dangerous statement to say. When I feel it, I'll do something. Church members, be careful. Miss Holly needs you in the choir. Well, when I feel it, Holly, I'll sing in the choir. I wouldn't do that. I would not do that. When I see something happening, then I will. If I experience something, no. Listen, I'm going to believe the Word of God. Feelings will shackle you. Feelings will slow you down. Feelings will put you in bondage. Feelings would put you in a lifestyle settling for less than what you can become or to accomplish. But God's way is to break the shackles and to set you free. Let's go back to John chapter 8, verse 31 and 32. And then we'll go one more time to Ephesians chapter 1 in just a moment. God's way is to break the shackles and to set you free. Now, there's three freeing truths I want to leave with you. But John chapter 8, verse 31 and verse 32. Follow me, please. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. There's three positions, three freeing truths. Number one, what is our position in Christ? My position in Christ is I have been baptized into him by the power of the Holy Spirit. If you will, just quickly, and Miss Tammy, if you could find this one verse, 1 Corinthians 12, verse 13. I wasn't going to do that, but I think I will. When you got saved, something happened to you. You don't get saved just by the water, but you get baptized in the family of God. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body. That's how you get saved. Christ baptizes you into one Spirit, the Spirit of God. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. We're baptized in the body of Christ. My position is I am in Christ. That's so important to understand, my position. Number two is the person. Who is the person? It's Jesus Christ. The person who we are in is Jesus Christ, and we are called saints, sanctified, separated unto him. And what are our possessions? Follow me to Ephesians 1, verse 7. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 7. In whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. All of our sins have been paid for. Based on my relationship with him, all of my possessions come from him. That confession is present tense. The forgiveness, notice, is past tense. Everything is attached, ladies and gentlemen, to the cross. Wow. I can be free. How the truth can set us free. So many folks are so bound because of what they think the Bible says, and they don't know what it says. You can be free tonight. I wonder if there's anybody here that's troubled by anything, and you just need to come and say, God, tonight I need to be set free. I need to believe in you. I need to trust you.